I once knew a man pretty well who had moved from tremendous success in business into ministry. He had done well in business, and it showed. After a Harvard MBA, he had risen in the ranks of his company. He was well connected around, across the country and around the world, and he had acquired many of the things that people seek after as part of the American dream, and he had done this at a pretty young age. But by the time I met him, he had already left that world, and he had gone through seminary, and he was involved in full-time ministry. But I was intrigued by his past life. I kept asking him questions about it. And I have to admit, I did, because a lot of it sounded pretty good. And I remember one day asking him the question, well, couldn't you have continued in business and done ministry as well? People do that. People have, you know, different areas, and you can serve the Lord in business, of course. He said, no way. I said, really? I said, why not? He said, because for me, he said, that was not my business, that was my idol. For him, that is what it had become. And he knew that he could not trust the Lord and follow the Lord and also remain where he was. You see, for him, and this is true of in his situation, financial success had become the all-consuming focus of his life. And he did it well. But he knew that in that, he was relying on his own insight and his own effort, and not on God's direction and will for him. This is how he tells the story. And I have to say, that was, as I was getting to know him and getting to know the pastors of the area where we served, some of us were a little envious at the trajectory he had walked and what he had attained. But he was always one to say, no, I wouldn't go there again. The Lord uses many people of his followers in business, but he said, for me, it was an idol. And see, he would go on to say it wasn't the wealth, it was the worship. It was where he was worshiping. It was the altar where he was bowing down. Do we trust God to meet us at our point of need? I have to ask that of myself. Do I trust the Lord to meet me at my point of need, whatever that is? And if I do, and if we do, do we also trust God to do what is best for us? In other words, do we really think God is good and will act in line with his character? Or do we seek our own solutions? You know, I think that really lies at the heart of our scriptures today. And it's a question, or a series of questions, that many of us sitting right here in this place are wrestling with right now in our lives. Is God good? Can I trust God? Some of you might even be saying, is God even there? Jesus addresses this directly as part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this context, he says, don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about it. For your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things that you need shall be yours as well. We have many points of need in our lives, don't we? Not just physical and financial that Jesus is addressing, but also emotional, relational needs, and spiritual needs. And around those places of need, those places often deep in us, lurk fears and pockets of deep pain. Jesus told those listening not to worry about their food or their clothing, but take a lesson from nature. Birds don't worry, they don't gather food into barns, but God takes care of them. How much more will he care for you? Do you think those people were worried about food and clothing? I do. I think he was addressing a real need, not just something abstract. They were dealing with the issues at the core of their daily concern. How will I find enough food to eat to sustain my family and me? And Jesus puts his finger on the one thing that many of them, for many of them, was their overriding pursuit and also their greatest fear. And he calls them to trust in God. For my friend in business, his fear was losing it all. It had become an idol for him. We have different ones, perhaps. Different areas of fear, different areas of pain at the core of our being. And I'd say probably for most of us here today, we're not anxious about food. Some of us may be. But most of us are not anxious about food and clothing. But there are places of anxiety and worry and longing even in our lives that take a lot of energy, that drain us. And over time, those things can become like idols. They become the place where we put so much energy and desire. And they demand more and more of us. And it's these very places where God comes to us and says, trust me to meet you there. Trust me to meet you in that place. Don't continue to be anxious, but seek after me and I will make you whole. Because after all, you cannot serve two masters. When we have pain in our bodies, what do we want to do? Get rid of it as quickly as possible. Take a pill, do whatever we have to do. Let's get that out of there. See, if pain is a sign that something is wrong. But we're thankful for pain because people who don't have pain face much more loss physically. The pain is a signal. It's part of the journey back to health. When we're hurting, we protect that place. I'm talking about physical pain. We cover it up. We put a cast or a splint on it. We put a heavy bandage on it. And we seek protection around that so it can heal. Well, we often do the same thing with deep emotional pain or spiritual need, with fear or doubt. We tend to wall it off. We cover it. We bury it in hopes that it will just go away or maybe heal on its own. It becomes a shrine. But healing usually can't come that way. But it comes as we offer that thing, that anxiety, that pain or doubt to God, seeking his kingdom for our lives, offering the broken reality of our lives to God in worship and in openness. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Greg and his family were at our house last night for dinner, and these guys too, and they have two beautiful little girls, Isabel and Lydia. And it was just amazing to watch them kind of come into a new place and encounter new people and encounter our cat, which they love the cat. I think the cat finally ran away and hid. But also encounter our dog. We have a 90-pound golden lab, yellow lab, who loves to say hello, and he barks and barks and just scares scares little kids especially, even though he's well-meaning. But to see them bring these joys and these fears and so on throughout the evening back to their parents or back to the adults as we sat there, and they would come and share this with us, and they would just give that to us. If they were fearful or they were joyful or they wanted to dance to the music that was playing, it was something that they offered to us. They brought it back to us. In a few years, they'll be in their own world. And those who parent teenagers know that interaction will be hard to come by. How was your day? Fine. But right now, they're teaching us how to bring our lives to God, offering the joys and the pain, the anxiety and injustice and the beauty of it, in order to receive peace and righteousness. God cares deeply about that place of pain in your life. It's the very thing that he will use to renew you. And sometimes what I do, I'll be honest and vulnerable for a minute, if I have that place of pain or that place of struggle, I hide it off. Say, well, Lord, pray and worship and all that, and he keeps pointing over here. No, I've got that over here. It's okay. I got that. And we protect it. But as Jesus tells his listeners, do not be anxious, do not worry, don't you know how the Father cares for you? He's looking deep into our lives of both joy and where the pain is, and wanting to replace it with his life. See, that pain is actually part of his saving plan for you and for me if we will press in and trust him and know his goodness as we give thanks for it. You say, are you crazy? To thank God for that thing? To give thanks for it. It becomes an agent of his grace and provision. I remember when Chris Marchand broke his leg on the ice in Evanston. How long ago was that, Chris? 3 winters ago, yes. And it was a terrible kind of fracture, and he was all plastered up and all of that. But as a result of that break, the doctors ran tests for Chris, just kind of routine stuff. And in those examinations, it was learned that he actually had cancer in his thyroid. And as a result, he walked through a time of treatment, a time of cure, a time of full healing in his body because of this thing that had happened that you would say, I'm going to curse that thing. I don't want a broken leg. But it's actually something to give thanks for, something to be thankful for. It led to a fuller and deeper healing in his life. I think that's a picture of our own pain and struggle as we offer it to the Lord. It becomes that place where the Lord actually touches us and renews us through that place. I don't know about your own struggle. And some of you might be sitting here today saying, I'm fine, I'm good. But I know by how quiet it is that many of you are relating and understand. But the Lord is close to that. And the Lord is close to you. See, the exiles thought God had forsaken them. Isn't that beautiful passage in Isaiah? And the Lord says all the wonderful things that he's going to do. And we continue to have these announcements through the prophet. And when people hear it, they say, God's forgotten us. God's forsaken us. God is not there. But the Lord's response to them is, how could I forget you? Like a nursing mother, I could not set you down. How could I do that? See, I've engraved you on my hands. I put a tattoo on my hand, and it's you. My hands, the center of my divine will and action and protection and love. If you feel the Lord's forsaken you today, He's not. He's not forgotten you. He cannot forget you. But he has a ministry of provision for you. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about your life. I love this prayer that's the collect today, and I would just encourage you to take the bulletin home and pray the prayer every day if you're in this place. This is the prayer we prayed right after the Gloria that I prayed. It's a prayer to not fear anything except distance from God. And a prayer of preservation from faithless fears and anxieties. And it's a wonderfully affirming and uplifting prayer. And I encourage you, and I affirm it to us, and I commend it to us. It's So we're told in 1 Peter, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. How does this happen? The Lord cares for us through each other. At least that's his plan. That is what we're called to. We bear one another's burdens in his name. We're brought together, we're made a people, in order to step into those places of anxiety and worry and need that we share, that we have together, and that we each have. It means we have to open our pain to each other, but it also means then we have to respond. We want to be ready to respond when that is shared and we see that. And we respond and we share in the Lord's name, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. And this can be a difficult thing, but I pray the Lord continues to lead us into this in a real way, an authentic way, to grow our caring of each other. But it can be a little messy, I have to say. But it's true, and it's real. So know the Lord's goodness. The Lord is good. The Lord cares for you. The Lord is renewing us as his people. Can we pray the collect together? Just let's pray it together out loud. Let us pray. Most loving Father, whose will it is for us to give thanks for all things, to fear nothing but the loss of you, and to cast all our care on you who care for us. Preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, that no clouds of this mortal life may hide us from the light of that love which is immortal, and which you have manifested to us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.